live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Did you happen to see that Trevor Bauer won his lawsuit? Trevor Bauer has never been accused. Never been accused of a crime. He actually won his lawsuit against.
Wait. He's never been accused of a crime?
He's never been charged with a crime.
Okay. Never been charged with a crime. Okay.
He's been accused, obviously, but he's never been charged. Actually, he won his defamation case against his accuser, who has to pay him $309,000. He's never paid a cent to two accusers. The second one is under investigation for fraud.
This is actually important. I know there's going to be a lot of people, John, who just see this and they're going to see the victims will never come forward. You cannot make things up. You cannot, like, there's enough intel out there to show that there was some. All right, 2 years after settling with sexual assault accuser Lindsey Hill, former MLB pitcher Trevor Bauer won a defamation lawsuit, and she is ordered to pay him $310,000 for violating their settlement agreement. It's reported their agreement prohibited falsely claiming that the other party had paid to settle and that Lindsey breached it by lying that Bauer had paid her during podcast and public appearances. So there was no payment made when he settled, and now he's on record as saying the other one, there is fraud, and they've turned over. Remember, was it prosecution? Was she trying to get, was it a civil, or was she trying to have him arrested?
She was trying to have him arrested.
Okay. And they looked at all the details and said, we can't go forward with this. And it's a messy one, because obviously he's a rough guy.
Well,
I'll leave it at that. This is not a clean situation at all. It's not a good one, but he's done in major. I think he's done in Major League Baseball. If he's not back by now, I think he's done.
Is it? See, I mean, it was proven by a trial that she defamed him, that she made a lot of it up. There was proof that, I mean, she was talking to her. There's texts to her girlfriend that she was going after him and going after his money. I don't know if should he be banned from. I mean, can a team take a chance on him? I mean, when he has been wrongly accused the way he was.
Well, so I look at it like this. I remember the situation with Michael Vick was not a good situation. If you care about dogs, and I do, I think what he did was bad. Michael Vick thinks what he did was Michael Vick is on record saying he was not a great person at that point. But he did the crime. And to me, once that happens, it's up to the NFL if they want to bring him back. And they decided they wanted to. And like I said, he actually faced the punishment. They wanted to bring him back. He came back. That's their business.
Yeah, but this is totally different. He's never been charged.
I understand,
Michael
but it's still,
Vick did time.
But it's still Major League. No one has to be compelled to pay him $30 million a year or $20 million a year. You cannot compel.
Well,
Because Colin Kaepernick, same thing could be argued that Colin Kaepernick was blacklisted.
Well, did you see? Colin Kaepernick has let it be known that he's out there. He's available.
Well, it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it's done. But Colin Kaepernick, he did get one tryout with the Raiders. Now, there's been some discussion about whether or not, you know, he was supposed to have a kind of a workout, and then they changed it last minute, went to a different location. It was some stuff that really I had NFL teams tell me they believed he was not serious about coming back. Oh. But regardless, and that was a while back. But Colin Kaepernick was basically, you know, I don't want to say blacklisted, blackballed from playing, but it wasn't a coordinated effort, I don't believe. But I believe there's a lot of teams who said, I'm not touching this. And if you say I'm not touching this with Trevor Bauer, well, what can you say? You can't compel a team to sign him.
No, you can't. What I'm saying is, if you need him, if you've lost a bunch of starters to Tommy John, and he actually has a house up in the Woodlands or Conroe, I mean, he's right there. He's right there. Could you root for Trevor Bauer if he was your pitcher on your team?
Oh, I'm probably the wrong person to ask. I mean, I'm Gen X, so I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. I mean, I may not like him, but I just kind of
mind my own business.
Oh, cheer for him? You know what? As an Astro, I probably would. Would I want him on a team? I mean, I don't necessarily see it the same as when we had Osuna.
No.
But Osuna was a closer. I didn't lose my mind then.
I thought the Cowboys were the worst for signing Greg Hardy, who was a card-carrying bad guy. You know, and what he did to that girl was awful. And I could never, I'm on record. I hate to, you know, be a judge from afar, but I don't want to root for that guy. I think Trevor Bauer's been given a raw deal here.
Potentially. Based on everything we know. We've seen Trevor Bauer is pretty good as a pitcher. Usually, if you've got ability,
that
you find your way back in, because teams are willing to, in every sport, are willing to give you a second chance if you can play. He's one of the few guys we've seen not get a second chance, and it really strikes me that maybe Major League Baseball players don't like that dude, and they just don't want him on the team. It could be a personality-driven thing as well.
Yeah.
Or maybe Major League Baseball security department has stuff on him that Major League teams have, and they just say, there's just too much there. We don't want to mess with this.
Yeah, could be. Well, I know the Dodgers didn't stand up for him. I know that. Boy, did they
not. Oh, man.
They didn't want him back under any. They didn't care if he was innocent or guilty or whatever. You ain't going back there. But I sure would like to beat the Dodgers with him. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is a quick break. You've got a couple of segments left to get in here. If there's anything you want to talk about, Twitch has responded to. I mean, Twitch says a lot of ugly things. You're talking about them bees. Them bees need to pay. Rat face reliever, I saw. I mean, just ugly stuff.
Who's rat face reliever?
Trevor Bauer. I don't know. Or I don't know. I guess he's not a reliever, though. He's a starter, isn't he? So I don't know. Why they call him rat face reliever, I don't know. I do know it's time for a break, and we'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. AJ in for Dell today, for those of you who didn't know. You haven't been hearing Dell yap and yap and yap. It's allegedly his birthday. It's impossible to find out if that's true, but allegedly, it's his birthday. So AJ came in for him. I don't know if he might be having a little birthday party with the hat, the little hats that they wear, and having cake and stuff. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know what he's doing, but we do know that it might be his birthday. But if it is his birthday, happy birthday, Dell. I won't text you happy birthday because I'm a grown man, so I'm not going to do that. And you're a grown man, so we don't care about that. We don't do that stuff anymore. What we do is talk about the Texans. And there's a lot of good stuff out there. Christian Kirk has been around for a little while. He loves being back in Texas. He thinks the Texans culture is awesome. AJ, let's play the one he talks about Nick Caley. He's seen some offenses. Nick Caley is new to the game here. We don't know if he's going to be any good as a play caller. We think he is because as we understand it, he brought the good plays with him as opposed to all the bad plays that Bobby Slowick had while he was here. But here is Christian Kirk, who's new here, his impression of Nick Caley so far.
Nick is all ball, very intelligent, very smart, does a great job communicating to us, you know, what the expectations are, route detail, you know, motions, formations, whatever the case may be. He's done a great job kind of laying that out for us. And it's been, I guess, primarily pretty easy, you know, just being able to learn it the way he's been able to install it. You know, Ben McDaniels in our room has done a great job of teaching us just all the things from a football IQ aspect that you need to know as a receiver. And this offense is dynamic. A lot of motions, a lot of pre-snap adjustments for the defense to have to, you know, deal with. So I think you'll see a lot of guys in different places to be able to make plays.
That's what you saw to the Rams. The Rams do a lot of motion stuff, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think you keep, you know, motion keeps teams off balance. It gives the quarterback an idea of what they're doing. And I think I hope it's not too complicated. We'll see. Already, it seems Christian Kirk is new here. Everybody's new because Nick Caley, you know, hasn't been here, so all of it is going to be new for everybody. But apparently, it's not going to be too much. There's going to be more on CJ, which I like. You know, CJ had handcuffs on him last year with Bobby Slowick.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to hopefully he's not going to have nearly the handcuffs that he's had. There's going to be better communication between him and the line. And you know, I just think I don't know. They seem to be a lot happier. Everybody that we hear about what's going on with this offense seems to be a lot happier right now.
Well, I think that, you know, having motion, all that does, like you said, is just allows the quarterback to get a better sense of what coverage is. And that's first and foremost, it does that. Secondly, you can get players on the move from motion. It gives them a chance to run rub routes easier. It gives them a chance to potentially get off press easier if they're a little slow getting off press. I don't know why there wasn't more motion in Bobby Slowick's offense other than the argument was Bobby Slowick, some people who are in that style of offense can be a little bit we know Gary Kubiak famously was married to the execution and not any type of innovation. Kyle Shanahan has been about innovation. Although right now San Francisco fans will tell you he is not innovative enough and he's too predictable and things like that. But I think it'll be good. You know, a branch of that tree was Sean McVay Shanahan tree was Sean McVay, and McVay off his branch was Kevin O'Connell. And they say Kevin O'Connell might be one of the great play callers and head coaches to work for as a quarterback that you're going to find. So yeah, I'm kind of excited. You know, for a long time, it's been that Shanahan tree, the San Francisco tree. Maybe the Rams tree is the one that you want to be on right now.
Yep. No, absolutely. Sean McVay has been great. He's been great. They start out slow and they pick it up at the end of the season, and I think that's a positive. Without the handcuffs, there can be no more excuses for CJ. CJ had a rough year. CJ also lost a couple of key receivers. He lost Diggs early. He lost Tank later. He had bad offensive line play. I don't know. Did we make a lot of excuses for? I don't think CJ was as good as he was.
CJ had
his
some.
Rookie
CJ
year.
Had his excuse makers. CJ wasn't an excuse maker, but there are people who had to feel like they had his back. But you know, he wasn't as good. He just wasn't as good. And I understand the issues with offensive line and all. I get all that stuff. He also and he wasn't as good. Both are true.
CJ had handcuffs on him. Can CJ read a defense yet? Is that why there might have been handcuffs? I've seen videos of CJ breaking down film. I believe CJ can read defenses. I believe CJ, he made choices his rookie year, and he was out there in the media, and he was. Listen, I'm not going to question CJ's football intelligence because I've seen some stuff from him, and I'm like, wow, dude really gets it. He makes quick decisions. All of that S2 stuff, I think, was thrown out the window his rookie year.
Well, but the S2 is not about your football IQ. It's about how quickly you respond to what you
see.
That's
right, and he was doing that.
Well, not last year.
But he was his rookie.
So I think, that's why I think there's some questions to answer because teams obviously switched some things up on him defensively, and it was a little tougher for him to recognize and get rid of the ball, get it out on time. So I think now we'll see if he can play chess, because teams obviously did something different to him because he was not responding as quickly in terms of his reads and where he wanted to go with the football.
Well, I don't know that it, for me, a lot of his, like the Lions, the throw, that was a physical thing. He lobbed that ball up there and let the defender come all the way over and pick that ball off, as opposed to throwing it. He threw another interception where he kind of lobbed it, and I don't know if it was the shoulder thing that was an issue there or what. He missed a lot of throws to guys that were open. He threw it at their feet. Those were more physical things than mental things for me last year. He didn't throw the ball nearly accurately.
He had some throws where he threw into some traffic that he shouldn't have.
It was more just missing throws that he was hitting the year before.
I think that was the biggest concern.
Listen, he is – I thought last offseason sucked because he was on a world tour. He was on a CJ promotion tour. And I honestly said it during the offseason. I was like, man, just we're seeing way too much CJ. I think a more devoted CJ this offseason – and a more focused CJ this offseason. Yeah, uh-oh. A shoulder.
Do we need to go through the CJ shoulder thing again? General soreness.
I'm not worried about it. I'm hoping that, you know what, just rest him. If he's got some soreness, oh well, then rest him. Who cares?
My favorite general.
It's OTAs.
My favorite general is McCarthy. Or MacArthur, rather. MacArthur.
Mine is John McClain.
Okay. My least favorite general, soreness.
Oh, well, General MacArthur and General Soreness. Mm-hmm. Mine's General Admission. That blows. Yeah.
General Sometimes Admission. It's all we can afford.
Well, but yeah, then you got to, you can't, you, oh, somebody, then you got to stand in line for all that time? No. General Admission blows. We don't need that in our lives. We've got more Texan sound. I want to get to Christian Kirk talking about this culture here. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can tell you there's a culture at Air Team because I've seen it. It's a family-owned business, and it's been passed down, and now their son is there, and he's running things, or he's involved in things, and it's really cool. It's really cool how – and we've seen this with different families that they pass down – the philosophy of the family, and that's why they're in business. That's why they're successful. That's why they stay. You know, there's years and decades that they're doing this, and that's the case with Air Team. Air Team is really, really good at getting you your air conditioner. Air Team is really, really great about diagnosing, about making sure that your stuff is working properly. They'll come, and it's very inexpensive for you to get a consultation, a cleaning, making sure that all of your AC stuff is working right. Listen, you can't afford not to do this. If you haven't checked your air conditioners in a while, this is something you really have to do. Let the team at Air Team come and make sure that your stuff is running smoothly so that you can rest easy and not pay for new air conditioners, because that sucks. Avoid having sleepless nights. Let Air Team keep your AC running properly. 713-936-5346. 713-936-5346 or airteamltd.com.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We heard from Christian Kirk about Nick Caley. Let's hear from him about the Texans culture. And this is a guy who's been in the league. Well, he just came from Jacksonville, which is, I mean, I don't know that. I mean, they're a mess. They are just a mess. But it is different here. I mean, you can talk about culture all you want and blah, blah, blah. You heard D'Amico a little while ago talking about the culture of that offensive line room. It's awfully important to him that everybody's on the same page, that everybody's working together, that they're being, you know, great teammates together, working as a unit. Here's Christian Kirk talking about how different it is here.
They are the future, you know what I'm saying? Like, we are the future to be here, and I'm excited to keep seeing where the Texans go and how far we can keep going. And it's a new thing that we're doing here, and Coach said something really good today. He was like, we can't stop till we get a bull on the ring. And I think that opened everybody's eyes and gave us a new perspective.
The energy.
Yeah, there's the other one that was above that one. AJ, he talked about the Texans, it's just different here. And there were two. That was confusing, AJ. That's on me. There were two different sound bites in that same one. Yeah, here he is talking about why it's different here.
The transition has been nothing short of amazing. Everybody in the organization has been welcoming from day one, players, coaches, staff included. And like you mentioned, playing at Texas A&M, it's good to be back. It's been a long time since I've been back in the state of Texas, and you know, even down the street from A&M. So definitely looking forward to getting back over there. But it's been great. And now that we're in OTAs and getting on the field, you know, working out the system, laying the foundation, just been really happy from day one.
Yeah, he said, he goes on to say that, you know, it's just different here than he's had it before. There's a reason that this team has won the division the last 2 years, and it starts with D'Amico.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think we got it. I think we got it pretty good with our managers and coaches here.
I do too.
Well, I like Joe Espada. I don't know. I think Joe took over a situation that was pretty good, but it ain't easy to continue to win at the highest level, which is what Joe has had to do. He ended up winning the division with a rough season. He's had a lot of injuries. He's done a really nice job. D'Amico obviously took over a crappy situation with so much turnover at the head coaching position. But now they've got a lot of good young talent. They've done a nice job of straightening that out. And the Rockets have done a nice job. The Rockets have done a nice job after being horrific. And they got the right guy. What it looks like, the right guy, who the Knicks are trying to steal from us. I think we got Kelvin Sampson at the collegiate level. I think we've got it really, really, really good here. I mean, because there are a lot of coaching situations and management and ownership situations,
yeah,
that are just miserable. They're just miserable. I don't think we appreciate enough how good we've got it with our teams and how solid they are.
No, we got it really good. And our coaches, you know, are rarely bothered by injuries. That's what I like too. Joe Espada, never bothered by an injury. D'Amico Ryan's never, ever bothered by shoulder soreness or questions about the offensive line.
No.
That's,
I'm not worried about that.
Doesn't seem to be a concern in the least. I really like our coaches. I really do. Espada's fine. You know, still want to see more from him. I really liked AJ. I liked Dusty. I thought it was Dusty's time to move on. Espada has done a pretty good job so far. He's still, you know, we're still finding out about Joe, but he seems to do a pretty good job. There's not, I've noticed that there's no real, like, Dusty would do some things that would be,
yeah,
that would require some conversations because they were a little bit unorthodox. Joe Espada has been pretty orthodox about his decision making, especially bullpen usage. Now, obviously, the Altuve thing to left field is about as unorthodox as it gets. So you can, you know, I don't know if that's Joe's call or the organization's call. But Kelvin Sampson, as you mentioned, Ime Udoka, D'Amico Ryans, it looks really, really good. Willie Fritz, if we're going to stick on University of Houston, I think I always liked Willie Fritz as a coach. I think he We're going to find out a lot about Willie this year. It's going to be an interesting year this year. But
yep.
In terms of the majors and then the team, obviously, that has made a ton of noise in University of Houston basketball team, really good coaches. Really, really good. We're pretty lucky in that sense. And I think that culture, to me, they've changed culture with the Rockets. The Astros created a culture. So, I mean, the Astros are the shining or the beacon in this city when it comes to a culture of brotherhood that is needed in baseball. Kelvin brought back an old school culture. Frankly, Kelvin and Ime Udoka, it's like a mirror. They're like mirror images, I think, in terms of how they coach and what they expect. Maybe not how they coach necessarily, but yeah, how they coach, mm-hmm. what they expect, accountability and all that. And then, of course, with D'Amico Ryans, I think it goes beyond culture. He wants to – that's a – I don't know. D'Amico feels a little different than Ime, but it's still about accountability. But D'Amico feels like he wants everyone on the same page. It's about making sure – that everyone's head is in the same spot. That's a little bit different than what Ime and it's more on the court. Ime and Kelvin Sampson are like, we're going to do this. This is how you're going to respond physically. This is what's expected of you. I think for D'Amico, he just wants everyone to have the same basic goals and the same attitude about ball. It's almost a little bit more simple with in the football world. We just want you to love ball. We want you to love your teammates and be a good teammate.
Well, and that's funny because D'Amico said, he said that the Bullock and Lassiter impact last year, he said those two came in and had a huge impact on this team. And now Noel and Higgins are doing that same thing. And A.J. Kamari talked about loving football, the first one up there. This is, I mean, if you get a guy like this, it is so, I don't know if they got lucky. You know, there were some knocks that possibly Kamari, his full speed, his speed would be, it might be an issue or whatever. But if they get football players like, listen to Kamari talking about football.
Mario, when you look at the group they've assembled here in the secondary and adding to it, how good do you guys feel like you could be?
I feel like with us, it's got to be the limits. But I feel like, you know, with the success we had last year and the work that we put in during the offseason and how we're running right now, you know, just kind of build chemistry. And just,
I can't really understand.
Just play as one and play fast. But this is what I feel like.
As good as you were last year, like, what were some of the things that you wanted to work on your game? I imagine the success probably motivated you even more.
To be honest, we'd be here all day if I wanted to tell you every single thing that I've been trying to work on. But it's just, to be honest, I just want to become a better player, like, just inside and out. Understanding what's going on pre-snap, understanding offices better, understanding where my help is better, just understanding route recognition, or just doing the little things that make me more successful. Watching the other players play, there's a lot of things that I really want to work on. I can't tell you everything because
we got to cut out of this, AJ. You can't really understand. Now the very first one says Kamari loves football. That's the one that I was looking for. But neither here nor there. That he talks about. I mean he. I want someone to love me as much as Kamari Lassiter loves football. That dude, I'm telling you, he said, since I was 3 years old, I have loved football. I just love football. And it seems to me, Lance, like you mentioned the Laramie Tunsil thing. Yep. D'Amico is weeding that stuff out of the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
You just said, we want guys that just, that's all they eat and drink and sleep and think, and that's a culture. And that's a culture thing. And Kamari changed that. He and Bullock brought that to the table as rookies. And now he says that Noel and Higgins are doing that as well.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about having a bunch of guys that just care.
So I don't know if you heard the conversation they had post-draft. So I always pay attention to everything, all the the coaches say post-draft, because, you know, I know these players who are drafted. I've written them up, studied them. And the thing that really stood out to me after the first 2 days of the draft, before – actually it was after the draft completely, is they made reference – D'Amico – was it D'Amico or – it was either D'Amico or – no, it may have been – it may have actually been Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio mentioned Matt Campbell, Iowa State. He mentioned Greg Schiano. Well, okay. It was important. I had to come up with it. Greg Schiano. He mentioned Greg Schiano at Rutgers. He mentioned, who had been a coach, had coached one of the players. I can't remember that they added. He mentioned Matt Campbell. He mentioned three different coaches that the Texans drafted, players that they drafted, and he mentioned it was important for them to get players who were coached by these guys because these guys understand how football is supposed to be played. Like, it goes into, and that's the Bill Belichick thing. Remember when he used to always pull guys from Nick Saban or Kirby Smart, SEC guys? There are some organizations, and the Texans are clearly one of them, based on who they have drafted over the last, since Nick Caserio's been here, that who you played for and what your background is matters a lot to them. A lot.
A lot. Yeah. And they look for those guys. They look for guys who just love football. The makeup of this team is starting to go, getting a Laramie Tunsil out of that locker room might have a bigger impact than we think.
It was for sure they wanted to do that, for sure.
Yep. Okay.
P.J. Fleck was the other one. So he mentioned Matt Campbell, two players. P.J. Fleck is your second rounder, Ursary. And then Keontae Robinson was the seventh rounder from Rutgers who played for Greg Schiano. Now, I noticed he did – and he may have mentioned, obviously, head coach at Iowa –
Ferentz.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz. I think he mentioned Kirk Ferentz as well, seventh rounder. Now, he didn't mention James Franklin, I don't think, who they got Jalen Reed, safety from Penn State there. And he didn't mention – I don't think he mentioned Lincoln Riley. And they got two players from USC. I don't think Nick Caserio mentioned Lincoln Riley, but Lincoln's name is Wood right now. Lincoln has one of the – it's crazy how hot his name was in Oklahoma and how cold in the football world his name is right now. I know somebody who was going to go over there and be a GM of the football side, and he said, nope, it's really toxic behind the scenes. When you start getting behind the scenes, it's really toxic between the university and Lincoln Riley.
He's got to win. But he got Kalen Bullock from there, and guess what? Bullock brings that same attitude that D'Amico is talking about. We are running out of time here. This is usually where we see what we missed. You know, we haven't talked about Zion Williamson. Zion is in some – holy crap. He's got a lot of issues right now. They're talking about they're talking about possibly getting rid of him in New Orleans. What can you get for Zion Williamson right now?
Not much.
Not much.
Now, Zion Williamson has a civil suit and a sexual assault accusation, but it's a civil suit. No one is taking him to – no one is looking for him to be arrested. It's a civil suit there. Mariah Mills, who was someone who former – did she have – I don't think she had a baby with him. I think she was just the girlfriend. She was just a girlfriend, and he broke up with her, and, you know, she's gone crazy and said all kinds of stuff. She's trying to sue him as well, and Tony Busby wouldn't take the case. He's like, nope, no thanks. So I don't know what's going on there, but he's been a disaster. I mean, this couldn't go any worse. Can't stay in shape. Although last year he did get in good shape and actually stayed in pretty good shape. Can't stay healthy. Isn't consistent. Can't stay why would you want him? Why would you want him? I don't know that basketball is at the forefront of Zion Williamson. I would not want Zion Williamson. Granted, look, the Rockets aren't looking to add anybody like that. But if I'm an NBA team, if you bet on Zion Williamson, you're basically just hoping that you get what New Orleans wasn't able to get. And, man, you've given him a second contract already. That dude doesn't have to do anything, and you got to keep paying him for a long time.
He's been a disaster. Now he's a public relations nightmare.
Yeah.
With the accusations that they're against him.
Barry missed the end
him.
Of the season again last year.
And he's just been talk about. I mean, that was supposed to be a generational pick, an organization changer.
Yeah.
He has been one of the worst picks, one of the worst first overall picks since Greg. What was his name?
Greg Oden.
Oden
was second, wasn't he?
Was Oden second? Or
no, Oden was one. Yeah, Oden was one.
Yeah, since Greg.
I mean, 24 games as a rookie, 61 games his second year, which was the bubble year. Then the next, he didn't even play 21-22 due to injury. Then he had 29 games because remember he just said he just didn't quite feel right mentally.
Yeah, right.
He didn't
and
feel
they
right
were going
mentally.
To the playoffs and he didn't feel like himself.
Yeah. Then 70 games in 23-24 and 30 games last year. The dude cannot stay on the court.
No.
And he's got all this stuff off the court. Ugh.
Ick. And he's fat. And he's that, too.
Well, he actually got in shape last year. He was actually in pretty decent shape.
Better. Somebody said it's going to be so hilarious when this offensive line is getting mollywopped. Who are they going to blame since Tunsil is gone?
Well, they're not as good. No, Tunsil wasn't the reason they got pummeled.
Tunsil was fine.
Tunsil was fine on his end, except for all the, you know, putting him in third and long situations because of false starts.
Tunsil did his job last year.
That's not the point. The point isn't Tunsil made the offensive line bad. It's that they weren't a cohesive unit. Don't trust us. Trust D'Amico. Don't trust us. Your own head coach is telling you that. You just have to. He ain't gonna say it out loud.
Well,
but listen to what
does.
He said at the combine.
He kind of does.
Yeah, he didn't call him out by name, but what he said at the combine was pretty damning.
No, actions speak louder than words. They traded him. They wanted him out of the locker room. They traded him. Okay, that's so. I mean. There's a reason. All right, we got a break. When we come back, news of the weird coming your way. Lance, why don't you right now talk a little Underdog Fantasy, and then we'll have news of the weird.
Underdog Fantasy has right now the big thing for us in the Underdog Fantasy world is the NBA Finals. And the NBA Finals are coming up on Thursday. We get started. Right now you could be looking through statistics, pouring through individual matchups. How have the Pacers fared against Oklahoma City in the two games they played this year and vice versa? You could look at that. You could start breaking down how you think the game's going to go. Who is, you know, Oklahoma City, are they going to clamp down on Halliburton? If so, you might want to go lower on the total points. But you also might want to say, well, who is going to get more looks then for the Indiana Pacers? What is that going to mean if Oklahoma City takes him away? Ask yourself these questions. Use your sports knowledge and then go higher or lower on the statistics available for all the players in the series. There's so many statistics for all of the players that are out there that are playing on a regular basis. It's incredible. And you pick between 2 and 6, 7 players. And the more you pick and the more you win on high and low, the higher your payout. You can get up to 1,000 times your original play when you start playing a lot of the actual underdogs. But I'm just here to tell you, it's a great way to win money. Because take your sports knowledge, you don't even have to pick every single one. You can play the flex option, which means 2 out of 3 still gets you paid. 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 still gets you paid. But if you want to go big, you can go big for as little as $1. But you have to download the app, and then you use promo code Lance on the initial deposit. You'll get up to $1,000 bonus cash. Unlock that special offer by using promo code Lance. Use your basketball knowledge for the opportunity to make money following the NBA Finals with Underdog Fantasy. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
All right. If you go to Nashville now, and you see a proliferation of pasty white drunk people, there's a good reason for it, Lance. Apparently, There is a direct flight now from Nashville to Dublin and vice versa. There is, and right now they're saying there are more Irish people on Lower Broadway than locals. And I'm looking at videos.
Why?
And they look because there's a direct flight now from Nashville to Dublin.
Okay.
Aer Lingus, which I think is cunning, has done this.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
Aer Lingus now flies direct from Nashville to Dublin.
They have tiny planes.
The influx of Irish people right now, pasty white Irish people, is incredible in Nashville. So if you go to Nashville and instead of country music, you're hearing a lot of blarney, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. A Chicago strip club is hosting a Caitlin Clark lookalike contest. Do you want to go and see a Caitlin Clark lookalike stripper?
No, no.
Yeah, I don't either.
She's a good basketball player.
AJ, you're a basketball
player.
She's
a good basketball player, but that's about it.
No, AJ, I'm good. I'm good.
Is this something you want to see?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
I'm positive.
AJ? You?
Ah, not really.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't think that's going to attract a lot of people. Abington Township in Pennsylvania says they have a brazen thief. He came into a convenience store wearing rollerblades with a knife and a gun, and he robbed the convenience store and got away with it. They have still not caught him on rollerblades. Do you feel like this is the best way to get away from a robbery?
Yeah, you're faster than, I mean, well, it's not the best way, but you're faster than on foot.
You're a lot faster
not
than
me,
on foot.
Not me, necessarily. I don't know that I should be on rollerblades.
Well, right.
I'm not sure you should be on rollerblades, but... I mean, did you say that guy was caught?
He was not caught.
Well, looks like you got your answer.
They're still on the lookout. Still on the lookout. And by the way, speaking of which, did you see one of the escapees from the New Orleans prison? He's trying to get President Trump to have him released and everybody stopped looking for him. One of the guys is still loose. He's trying to get rappers behind him. He's trying to get President Trump. He sent out a video. I don't know that that's really going to work. Were on the loose from escaping from prison, would you try to get President Trump on your side?
I think I'm just going to keep a low profile and not do anything and just try to get out of the country.
Yeah, I, as soon as possible, let's get out. And in an ironic move, apparently there was a Harvard student who's doing an interview on global unity. But right behind her, there are two guys who are fighting at this cafe. I mean, punching each other while she's doing a video on global unity.
Well, that's how it goes.
That is ironic. That is ironic.
Who's hosting the show, by the way, with Dell? With Dell gone, who's the host?
Joe.
So
Joe's
hosting.
You're cutting
today?
Into Joe's show. Dell doesn't care if you're cutting to his show. Maybe
Joe cares. Joe cares. All right, we gotta go then. Hope you enjoyed the show. Joe George is taking over for the birthday boy next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, everybody.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.